Welcome to the Rearview Mirror Podcast, looking back on all that we don't know and a few things that we do.
Check. Mic check. Check. Mic. Mic check.
You are mic check. Key.
Check. 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 Check.
Checkmate.
Not check.
Wrong game.
Go. Mic check.
All right. We are here. Episode 13.
No.
Truly.
Is it?
The lucky number.
Mm.
Yeah. And we're not Friday mornings. We are, what day is it? Wednesday?
Wednesday afternoon.
Afternoon, 5 o'clock somewhere. We were tempted to drink on this podcast. It seems like it might have helped.
You weren't really.
One. Well, I was tempted to watch you.
I was going to. I have had beer on a podcast before.
Oh, yeah. The Bridge?
At the Bridge, yeah.
Yeah. For those of you listening in who live in the area, that is not the Bridge Community Church in Spring Hill. That would be the Bridge Golf Course, just to be clear.
No. Yeah, I don't think you need to make that clarification.
You never know.
I think you do.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, shout out Franklin Bridge, owned by the great Brooks West, my favorite golf course and watering hole. They have Pacifico on tap, which
that
is my favorite little Mexican lager, and I do love it.
Yep.
I am trying to take the week off this week, though. So
from golf?
From golf and beer.
And beer.
Yeah, both.
Good
both
for you.
Taking off this week, at least for the next day or so.
Yeah. What's coming up for you over there? Like, I know y'all do these tournament, member tournaments and all. Anything like that coming up in the near future for you there?
Let's see. Yeah, there's one coming up. I'm having a little, I got to get a little thing fixed with my back next week. So, there's a tournament in May, but I'm going to miss that. And then we have a member tournament in June that a good friend of mine and I will play in.
Fun.
Fellow Arkansas guy. So we'll go defend our second place title from last year.
That's great.
Yeah, they've got some good events out there. That's fun. Just fun hang.
Okay. When you said Arkansas guy, I've been meaning to ask you this.
Well, ask
it
me.
Has no point to anything other than I'm curious. 3 or 4 weeks ago, you sent me a picture on a Friday night of pizza.
Uh-oh.
And you said, this is why I work out. And then like the next weekend, you sent me a picture of another pizza and said something else just funny. And it made me think, I know Friday night's a big pizza night often for you guys. Like, where do y'all do pizza? Are you still at a
Nashville Pizza?
That's the Arkansas connection. That's exactly what I was wondering about. You love those guys.
I do. So it's an odd story, but funny and sad and good all at the same time. Growing up, I had a great friend in Little Rock.
Okay.
Wes Alexander.
Okay.
So Wes and I were best friends for a long time. Mm. Rest in peace, my friend. He died a few years ago.
Wow.
There was a famous, no connection legally, but there was a famous pizza joint in Little Rock called US Pizza.
Okay.
It was great. One of the few independents that opened up there. Yeah. Everybody loved it. It was famous for pizza was great. Salads are great. Service was horrendous. It was always going to be horrendous. And you just lived with it. You know, it's just one of those things.
The food was good enough.
Yeah, the whole thing was great. Yep. So Jen and I moved to Franklin in 96, I get a phone call from a guy, and it's a buddy of mine that we ran around with, that Wes and I ran around with, actually two buddies. And they said, hey, drive down the street to the Watson Glen Shopping Center and pull in the parking lot and go in that pizza place. And I said, I'm going to meet you there. I'm here in town. Well, it turns out they owned it. They bought it. They brought a similar concept to Franklin.
Wow.
So, you know, 30 years ago, they started that place, and there's two locations. Still going, still great. They've got stuff about Wes up in the pizza place. But I can remember taking our kids there when they were little. And when Will was little, it was so noisy on a Friday night and so packed. He would just eventually just fall asleep, sitting in my lap or sitting in the chair or something.
Wow, so little Will.
So, they've known him. Those guys would come watch him play sports and watch Caroline's games. And, I mean, there was, you know, it's like family. So
hometown restaurants are the best, aren't they?
I mean,
that's
just
so cool.
Something to that.
That's
you
so
know,
cool.
So that'll always be our place, just right. Out of nostalgia. And the pie's really good.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and I don't care about in that kind of place, the service just, it can be okay. I don't need it to be
it
great.
It doesn't matter. Well, you're doing takeout usually, right?
Usually.
And in this season of life,
Yes. Well, we dined in a few weeks ago with some friends, so I don't mind dining in.
Cool.
Yeah, you just got to sit back and know it's going to, might be a minute before you get...
Don't come in there in a hurry.
You got to relax when you go in there a little bit.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
That's so good.
Where do you guys like to go?
You know, I feel like we're eating out less and less for some reason.
So you're on a health kick now, so no problem.
Well, that's probably part of it, yeah.
They have salad.
Do they really? In restaurants?
Well, at the pizza, at Nashville Pizza.
Oh, no. Laura, there's one salad they have that Laura loves there. It's got all the stuff in it that I would never eat, but I don't know. Mm. But I don't know what our favorite place is. You know, we end up usually downtown Franklin when we go out to eat. And, you know, Red Pony's fun. It's funny. There's these two Italian restaurants downtown. You know, there's a really nice Colacino's maybe. Mm-hmm. I think that's close. But there's the other one that I never can remember the name of. And it's kind of a dive right over on, like if you're going to Franklin High School on the left from our house. I think it's great. I enjoy going there. It's just, I don't know, it's heavier food maybe.
It's been there for years.
Like, yeah, but it's really good. Zolo's maybe. But anyway, really like it. And then, of course, I mean, I know y'all do this too, but man, if we've got a little extra money, I love Cork and Cow. I mean, my gosh. It may be my favorite steak in town, period.
Let me just say this. So, because I'm sure he's probably not listening, but in the unusual event that he is, shout out Jason McConnell, who owns Cork and Cow and Red Pony.
Yeah.
Franklin, Tennessee. Brilliant. Sunday was our 29th wedding anniversary.
This past?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's awesome.
And we've had a really crazy schedule the last couple of months. We were going to go, anyway, doesn't matter. We've had trips canceled and trips added. And so we're kind of in limbo, weren't doing anything for our anniversary. But we did, you know, some fun stuff that day and we love to go there at happy hour, sit at the bar, have a drink. And my wife loves a burger. I mean, one of her favorite things to
eat. Oh, wow. That's so not you.
Not a huge fan.
Yep.
But they have the best burger that I've ever put in my mouth.
I've never had their burger.
Far. It's unreal.
At Cork and Cow, not Red Pony.
Cork and Cow, yes. Okay. And so we split the burger, got some other app. It was great. It's my favorite place. And the food is phenomenal. It's phenomenal every single time. We've been going there for years. When our kids have some celebratory event and they get to pick, I mean, any place in Nashville, that's what they pick. Either pick there or Red Pony. So, and the bar is great.
Yeah.
I mean, they know what they're doing. They're fun. The guys there that work there are fun. They usually, a lot of those guys compete in contests.
Right.
And so, one of our favorite places to hang out.
It's
a great little Franklin spot.
It is.
I may have to edit that out because I don't want it to be super crowded. The bar is really small. I don't want, this is the part of the Enneagram 4. I don't really want to share my joy with somebody else.
Well, and if there are tens of thousands of listeners, we could really overwhelm them, I'm pretty sure.
I think there are just tens.
Oh, tens. That's right. My bad. I always forget.
Because I just asked you that earlier. I don't think we're into the thousands. We're just
We're not.
Snippet away from the thousands.
A big snippet. Anyway.
Yeah. So that's good.
How you been?
Yeah. Not bad. Not bad. Nothing.
Same.
Yeah.
It's weird middle of the week because I feel like I'm just getting started. Been doing all these crazy little projects and getting ready for springtime, from cleaning the back porch to, oh gosh, we mulched last night. That's always enjoyable, you know.
That's a big project.
Yeah, but got them all done. So 80 bags. That felt fun.
That's 82 for me.
Really?
Yeah, 82.
Oh, well, you got that.
A couple weeks ago.
Yeah, you got that big year. Actually, I just lied. My neighbor took 20 of those bags. So we only had to do 60 this year. But last year we did 78. So I don't know what happened. Anyway. We're not mulching the azaleas. That's what happened.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
How do you grow pretty azaleas, by the way?
Is it any wonder we only have 80 listeners?
I wouldn't listen to this very long at all.
I mean, I'm falling asleep right now and I'm talking about it.
Oh.
So, I don't have anything on my mind today necessarily.
Yeah.
We were talking about a couple of interesting things a few minutes ago. I had lunch with my son today, who's 26, about to be 26. It was fun. You know, when you have lunch, when you interact with somebody in their 20s and 30s and you're in your 50s, the conversation's better. You know, you're not talking about ailments or extended family that maybe sick or died, or things that you talk about when you're older.
It's
just young person conversation.
Yeah.
Like, you know, what's going on with you, the fun things they did, can play off Jimmy, help the Warriors, you know, what's the start of the major league season? It's just fun, you know. Yeah.
So much more life-giving at one level.
Oh, my gosh, it's really good. So,
yeah.
But I was thinking about this. My wife's family's in town. We're going to see my family tomorrow. And, you know, based on our conversation last time about, we did a reframing, and then we did...
kind of change and transition.
Transition and change. So I'm thinking... You know, your dad's passed away. My dad's passed away. How do you think about parenting? Not parenting, because that's not the right word. We're kind of done parenting. How do you? What's your relationship like with your adult kids?
Laura and I often talk about how much we feel like we've got these younger friends in our lives, you know?
Yeah.
I'm not so naive to miss that, you know, we're still mom and dad, and at some level for good and bad probably, but I'm grateful for the ability for us to be together as a family and really enjoy it. Like, it's so cool for Easter this year, we're all meeting on Saturday and doing a big brunch at our house. Laura and I decided early on, after Josh got married, we said, we're going to be that set of parents that doesn't have to celebrate holidays on the holiday. You know, I think in the work I do, I see a lot of families who come in here, young families, and they're just like, oh my gosh, we've got to go to my parents at noon. We got to go to my mom's house at 3:00. And we got to go to my dad with his new wife's house at 6:00. And I just look and I go, that's exhausting. And so the first couple of years, I think that's what we did is that, you know, Josh and Jess would be at our place and then go to Jess's parents. And then I think within the first couple of years, we were like, no, we're not going to do that anymore. We're just going to say, look, we would love time together over the holidays, Christmas, Thanksgiving, Easter, if at all possible. And we'll flex. We'll flex by days or whatever we need to, you know. So I think what's so cool is that what we realized is that for our kids, it's really important that we still have those family times together. And part of it is they enjoy each other and they enjoy the daughters-in-law, daughters-in-love that are part of our family now. And, you know, it sure feels like at least our kids still enjoy being with us. We love our time with them. Mm. So I think, you know, we've all learned how to navigate that, you know, there's things they want to talk about with us because we're important people in their lives. And there's other things they don't want to talk about. And we're like totally cool with that. We want to be so careful to never make our kids feel a pressure like, oh, we want to know what's going on in this area of your life. But if they want to talk about it, man, we want to be able to be available and be with them on that.
So if you were giving advice and you had three, let's say there are three things you did, maybe with, boy, Josh really takes the brunt of a lot of junk. Doesn't he? First married.
Sure. Yeah. God love him.
Sorry, bud.
I know.
Two or three things that you go, oh, wish I hadn't done that, or maybe not the best idea for parents of adult kids when they get to that stage or they moved out of your house and newly married. And
yeah,
what are a couple of don'ts you think in your experience?
Yeah. I think probably the first thing that comes to my mind is don't offer advice unless you're asked. Steve, you've heard me talk about this before. It's kind of cheesy, but it's an easy way to remember. I feel like there's these four stages. I'm sure I've stolen this from someone, and forgive me for not knowing who it is, but I think there's these four stages we go through in parenting. You know, when these little babies are born, we're caretakers. And it's just like, you know, we're literally keeping them alive, you know? And when they get into elementary school and even toddlers, you know, when they're starting getting around, we move from caretaker to cops. You know, it's just like, we're literally walking around with our ticket pad, writing them tickets. We're putting them in jail, time out. You know, we're doing whatever we need to do to help enforce the rules, to teach them the rules. They don't know. So, you know, I think that's part of our role. But I think as we transition into adolescent years, we kind of turn into this this coach is what I call it, kind of that third phase, kind of more of a coach of just like, hey, you already know the rules, but let me help you, you know, like a basketball coach. You know, man, I'm watching you shoot your shot, and I think the reason it's not falling is, you know, can I show you this? What's going on with your hand or whatever? Because there's still a need to engage, but I don't know that I need to be the cop that's constantly coming down with the heavy. But I think as they leave home, as they're gone from college, as they're in their home world and they're buying their own houses, for sure somewhere in that phase, we move into what I call the consultant role. And in that consultant role, my joke with my kids is I go, I'm not giving you advice unless you ask for it. And I may charge you for it if you ask for
it. If it's a lot, then I'm going to have to charge you.
Yeah. You know, because what I like about that is I think in our early days, and again, Josh, and even with Sarah some, I think, and probably with all of them, with Jake when he first married, it was easy for me to see something that I thought, ooh, I don't think they're doing this the best. Let me offer them some words of encouragement. Let me tell them how I would do it. And I remember in fairly short order realizing that is so not what they need from me. I just want to love them. I want to be present with them. And if they come to me with a question, man, I want to open up whatever I have and say, hey, here's what I think. Here's my thoughts. But I think that's the first thing is that came to my mind is, man, how do I not give advice quickly?
Yeah.
You know?
What else?
Laura has this, I guess this probably will tie into the first one. Laura, one of her favorite books is by a guy named, his last name is Burns. I think it's Jim Burns. And the title of the book is something like this. I won't quote it perfectly. It's, relationships with your adult children, how to have relationships with your adult children, something like that. And the subtitle is awesome. It says this, keep the welcome mat out and your mouth shut.
Man, God, that's good advice in general.
Yeah, well, it's probably true. You know,
I mean, I'm not saying for Laura. Laura, I don't mean that's good advice for you. I meant in general for people.
Like, yeah, for men.
Man, I'm gonna catch hell for that, bro. It's out of context.
So. That's steve@gmail.com. I think there's something like that. I think the second thing that came to my mind when you asked that question is to be slow to rescue. And it's kind of similar, but I think it's a little different in that, you know, in the early days, as some of our kids were getting started, I'd see them struggling in an area financially, or maybe I would even just assume they were struggling. And I thought, well, man, I can solve that. I can stroke that check. That's not that big. I can help out. And realizing, again, I think that came out of what Laura and I didn't get from parents. We had to figure it out on our own. Our parents were 12 and 8 hours away from where we lived. And, you know, we're in the same community with our adult kids. So I think it's really easy to go, oh, we should just help out with that. We could do that. We could pay for that. And, again, it's that being slow to rescue, that part of what they're doing is they're, Ramsey always says, they're eating rice and beans because they're trying to get to a better place where they don't have to one day. And I don't need to step in.
And that's okay.
Yeah. 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 That felt important in those early years that I wish I'd known earlier, I think.
What do you think, you know, you hear this phrase a lot, I'm backing up to the stages, so go back to the, you know, just past the cop stage, maybe entering the consultant stage. At what age do you think you start becoming your kid's friend?
Yeah.
Or what does that look like?
Yeah.
Maybe that's question one and 1A.
And maybe it's different for every kid at some level, you know, how they're developing, I would guess.
Yeah.
And for every parent, how they're developing, you know.
Or not.
That's so true. I know there's a school of thought out there. I've heard people say this adamantly, even people in authority saying, you know, your job is not to be your child's friend. You're the authority figure.
Right.
To me, that feels like an extreme. You know, what does friend mean? It means somebody that I like, somebody that I enjoy, somebody I feel safe with. So, gosh, according to that definition, I very much want to be my child's friend from age two on. And I'm really aware that in those traffic cop days, there's times when, you know, I remember our middle son, Jacob, looking me in the eyes at 3 years old, I hate you, Daddy.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't disrespectful. He just didn't have a vocabulary to say what was really going on with him. So I think there's this friendship thing that's constantly growing at some level. When you ask the question, I think what comes to my mind is I feel like as we get into adulthood, full-blown adulthood, and at least in our family, perhaps different than others, there's really become this place to where, you know, I just enjoy being with my adult children.
Yeah, right.
You know, and I feel like, you know, whether it was Jonathan and I driving cross country during his junior year of college, because he had an internship in California, and it was just so fun to do that cross country road trip with him. You know, it felt like you and I could be doing that, you know, or with any of our kids, Sarah. I mean, my gosh, she and I, we could jump on a plane tomorrow and go somewhere and we would have a blast. If it's a 1 day trip or a 10 day trip, it's just easy with all of our kids. And again, to me, that's that picture of that friendship, is that there's not a sense of power imbalance or posturing or authority that needs to play out. We just enjoy being in the presence of each other.
Yeah.
I know it's true for me. I think that's exactly where they are too.
Oh, I'd say so.
Yeah.
And your kids love being at your house.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's mm-hmm. there's something to say about what you've done to foster that.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. You mean by apologizing a lot? Yep.
Yes,
that's what I've done.
That's mainly what I mean. Yes.
It's true.
You said something to us years ago when, you know, when our kids got to high school and, they would start on the, you said the spring break stuff is coming.
Oh yeah.
You know, and you said, really try to, if any way you can, try to do something as a family.
Mm-hmm.
You do two things. It brings your family closer together,
yeah.
But it also avoids some of the pitfalls early on that can be had in other spring break situations. Not that you can constantly or you know, forever avoid those things, but
right.
What we found, some parents would say, man, my kid just doesn't want to go. Well, Jen took care of that. She's like, hey, this is what we're doing.
Yep.
So when our kids got, you know, that age, we took some shorter trips, you know, did a little Chicago thing. We did a couple other things. And then we started taking spring break trips.
I remember. Y'all were awesome.
Ourselves. And it was all credit to my wife. She just, you know, she said, I'm going to be pretty firm and this is what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And our kids still liked us enough at that point where it was, you know, I think they were fine with it. And we tried to make them fun enough where it would be something that they love. But man, those memories of those trips.
Yeah.
I mean, forget what they didn't, you know, whatever trouble they didn't get into on the spring break trips. I just think much more importantly was the time we got to spend.
Right.
And that's
right.
when I started really thinking, man, I really always loved them, liked them even, but just want to be around them.
Yeah.
And still, I mean, even, you know, had lunch with Will today. I look forward to that. We laughed. It wasn't a long lunch, but we had a great time. And Caroline and I talk, you know, every other day and text every day. And so it's just a, that, I think those are the things when you're in the throes of the cop consultant years, that's what you have to remember. One day they're going to be 25 and 35.
Yep.
And you're going to want them around. So, you know, be firm.
Yeah.
Be consistent.
Yeah.
Be calm. Don't be an ass.
Yeah.
You know,
exactly.
And just, you know,
I think try
to manage it in a, as best you can. And I say that, like, please understand, I've said this on the podcast before. I mean, I've raged at my kids, both my kids.
Right.
So same. I've had to apologize. I'm embarrassed about that. I don't like that. Hopefully that's not the preponderance of what they remember.
Right. 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 I think what you said about spring break and Jen, you know, you honored her beautifully there and just said that, man, she was adamant. This is what we're going to do.
Yeah.
I think it's one of the things I see a lot is parents who allow their kids to have too big of a voice in some decisions. But hear me right. I think kids need to have a voice. I think they need to be able to weigh in on some things a lot. But I think there also comes a point when parents need to remember, wait, I'm the parent. And, you know, I was talking to a guy not long ago and he said, yeah, you know, we're really tight financially, but our kids all want to go to, I don't know, some island for breaks. I feel like we just need to do it. And I said, wait, run that back. What, you need to do it because your kids want to go there? You know, what do you want to do? Well, I just wish we'd go to the mountains and go hiking. Okay. Well, what if you tell them, hey guys, wish we could go to the islands? We can't. We're going to go to the mountains. We're going to go hiking and let them moan and groan and then go and take away their technology and see what happens. You know, we're afraid sometimes to exert ourselves as a parent. Yeah. Oh, excuse me. Yeah. Okay.
So you're back on the cigarettes, I see.
It doesn't need to be, evidently. Goodness. Well, okay.
Yeah. And I think it, you know, it's good for your kids to see that, I mean, and some people have the financial means to do just about anything. And some have the financial means to do, you know, single parent or a situation that's not great. And, you know, they're, you have to get a little more creative.
Yeah.
And we've, you know, my business is, I'm in a volatile industry. And so some years we've had to say, hey, you know what, let's scale it back, you know, or let's just hang here and do something, you know, we'll do some other fun things, but there's always, and that's okay to tell them too, you know, and it's, I don't think I realized when they get away with you, I don't think I realized the impact of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
And even if they, it's not like they were super talkative and we had all these deep conversations or they revealed a ton, but there are just, there are things that happened after that, that indicate, man, well, that was really, you know, that was worth the time. And one of the things that had to change was me. I found out on the first, you know, we went to Puerto Rico and it was a pretty active vacation. We hiked a lot. We did a lot of stuff. Well, I'm thinking, man, Puerto Rico on the beach, I'm going to lay on the beach.
Chill. You know?
Right. And my kids don't like that.
Right.
I mean, they like some of that.
Right.
And Jen too, that they want to be active. So I had to change my mindset a little bit and go, all right, we got to, this is just, we're going to be gone. We're going to get up. We're going to go.
Yeah.
And they like to be going and doing.
I love that.
So,
but that's giving them a voice really. But here's the context we're going to be in. And man, if this is what you want to do, I can rally.
Right.
I will butcher this, but I remember reading a book by Don Miller a number of years ago. It's like 1,000,000 miles in 1,000 days or something like that. And at the end of the book, he tells this story, and I want him try to recreate it or do it justice. But the punchline to the story, this dad who had a couple of kids that were, you know, being disconnected from mom and dad, and somehow the dad gets this aha moment, maybe from someone else. Again, I don't remember the specifics, but I remember this line. A friend of his said to him, it sounds like you need to invite your kids into a greater adventure. I think that phrase is so brilliant.
Yeah, that's good.
That if we're not careful, we relegate the adventure of our kids' life to what their friends are saying or to what somebody else is saying. And this is really what I did with Jacob and Jonathan when they were both in high school, probably freshman, junior years, something like that. I was dreading the, Dad, can I go to the beach with so-and-so? You know, I just thought, oh gosh, I just don't know that my kids are responsible enough to do that. And maybe they are, maybe not. And do I really want them to do that? Do I know this family well enough? You know, it was just all those fear base at one level. But then I think that fear turned to wisdom at some point because I thought of that line. I thought, wait a minute. They haven't asked me yet, but I know they're going to ask me soon. It was probably in January when I was thinking about this. And I thought, what would it be like if I invited them into a greater adventure?
Yeah.
And so I remember going to them before spring break and quite a bit before spring break. And I said, hey, spring break's coming up. I've been hearing rumblings of y'all talking with some friends about possibilities. And I know at some point you're going to say, hey, Dad, can I go with so-and-so and go to the beach? Let me give you another opportunity to think about doing something else for spring break this year. I said, because I don't know if we're going to say yes or no on that. I'll be really honest right now. But would you and your brother, or maybe they were together, but I said, how would you like to go spend a week, just the three of us guys, and we're going to go to the Dominican Republic, and we're just going to drive all over the island and explore all sorts of places? Mm. And I mean, they didn't have to wait. It was like, oh my gosh,
yeah.
I've never been there. Let's do that.
Let's do that.
And it was a great few days we spent down there, just the three of us. But I remember walking away going, dang, that's a greater adventure than just hanging with my buddies at the beach.
Yeah.
But we have to be intentional to think that way, I think.
Right.
Our kids, I don't think it's our kids dread time with us. I think they dread boring time with us.
Well, who wants to have boring time?
Yeah,
I mean,
period.
Do you hang around with people that are boring?
Outside of you?
No. I mean,
no, no one else.
I'm going to be the least fun guy you hang out with.
That's,
I can tell you that.
Not true.
Yeah, we've established in my family that I can be, you know, Caroline says, Dad, this is not entirely true, but I think it's mostly true. I can be funny at times.
Right.
But I'm not, I don't know that I describe myself as fun.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. So, well, you are funny, though. Great sense of humor, but yeah.
But yeah, I mean, nobody wants to be, I mean, you know, and I think that's part of the issue at the beach, and Will kind of opened my eyes to this. I'm thinking, well, I'm going to the beach. I'm an adult and I've got young, you know, we're going up to that mm-hmm. point. We've got young kids. So yeah, mm-hmm. a couple hours sitting on the beach in the sun is,
yeah,
man, that yeah. sounds relaxing.
Yeah.
But as your kids get older, I mean, when they go with their friends, they don't want to sit on the beach. They're going to find something to do.
Yeah.
Because they're bored.
Yeah.
And I would be too. Mm-hmm. And I get bored and I don't really want to hang out with boring people and neither do they. So that's a great point.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's not adventurous enough.
Right. Right. That's good. You'd asked me the question earlier. Let me turn it back on you.
You like to do that.
Well, because you ask good questions.
Why don't you think of your own question?
Okay, I'll work
so
on that.
So turn it back on me. I don't want to answer it. If I wanted to answer it, I would have just talked about it. I just wanted to hear your answer to it.
Too bad.
All right, go ahead. No, I'm kidding. Go ahead.
But that question about, you know, I know my kids are a little older than your kids, but still, you got young adults, man. They're out of school. They're out of college. They're building their careers, building their lives. What are the things, where have been any missteps, if any, for you, or what are the things that you feel like, man, Jen and I did this really well in the truly, the launching, the releasing, that continues to create good connection?
I think just, I think you hit the nail on the head with the welcome mat and the mouth shut. And mm-hmm. we joke, we're pretty open in our family. So, that may have been, I'm sure it's been an adjustment for our daughter-in-law, Zoe, because she's, you know, she is awesome and she's great with my son and for my son. We're pretty vocal and kind of say what's on our mind. So I think just, you know, making sure that, you know, she feels welcome and which I think she knows she is and that her voice is heard and really that everybody's voice is heard and, Jen and I don't have to say as much. We don't have to give our opinion all the time. And I think that's true. The advice, if they want it, they'll ask for it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they're not shy about that. So I think we probably, I don't know, missteps. I'd have to think about that. You probably have to ask them.
Yeah.
I think not communicating clearly sometimes and not thinking through expectations
that you had of them,
yeah, or just that not really I had of them, but this kind of unspoken expectations. Like your parents are gone.
Mm-hmm.
Laura's dad lives a long way away,
right?
So the grandparent thing is not a thing
mm-hmm.
on your side,
right? Right. For my kids. Right.
Right. So there's, but you know, Jen's dad's still alive. My mom's still alive. And so we, you know, we still see both families a lot and it's fun. Unfortunately, we like both families.
Yeah.
It's been a real rare thing with the in-laws and the, all the siblings. And it's just, you know, I'm going to Little Rock tomorrow. I'm looking forward to it, to see everybody. Yeah. And it's just fun. As the families grow, it gets harder and harder to get everybody together.
Right.
And so I think there comes a point where you have to kind of give your kids the freedom. Hey, y'all, you know, we're going to do this, try to preserve that larger family gathering, but y'all don't have to come.
Right. What a gift.
You know, and I don't know that we did that early on super well. And they kind of know that and everybody's disappointed. But then, you know, I can tell you when I have grandkids, then they're going to take priority.
Yes.
And so all that changes, just acknowledging that life and situations and the traditions you had at Christmas 25 years ago, they may have to end at some point.
Right.
And that's okay. There are new traditions that start. And so just, you know, kind of going back to what we talked about a few weeks ago, sometimes you just don't know what you don't know or don't know what's coming. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure we probably didn't handle all that great.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're early on in it. And I think learning as we go.
I think one of the things you said made me think of this. You know, in this grandparenting season that Laura and I are in, I realize that our role is to figure out where can we be invited into their worlds and their traditions, as opposed to trying to hold on to our own traditions and keep them coming in.
It's good.
You know, one of the things I love to do with our kids when they're growing up around Christmas time is on Christmas Eve night, you know, I would get basketballs, volleyballs, baseballs, whatever had. After the kids were laying down, they would all sleep together in the bonus room, and they were waiting to hear Santa. And I had this little red flashlight. I've had this thing for 25 years. I only brought it on Christmas Eve night. And at some point, I would go out in the backyard, and I had this strand of jingle bells, and I'd start doing those, and then I'd go, hoo, hoo, hoo. And, you know, I'd start going, Merry Christmas, trying to do my best Santa impersonation. And then I'd start throwing those balls on the roof as fast as I could. So isn't this crazy? The kids would scream and go crazy because at some point then the red laser light would go slowly across the bonus room window and it was Rudolph's nose.
Yeah, sure.
And they would just scream and go crazy. And of course, you know, each of them started aging out of it, but they all would play the game to keep the younger two or the youngest, you know, excited about it. I love that tradition. I thought it was awesome. So when our kids started having kids, I was like, well, oh my gosh, they're gonna have to come spend the night at my house because Santa Claus comes here.
Who wouldn't want to be part of this? You know?
Nobody, you know?
Do you know what I've created here?
And then I remember saying to both of them, listen, if y'all want me to come out and do Santa Claus on your roof, you know? And it's funny because there were no takers. And there was probably this little moment of like, well, shoot, I thought that's a pretty cool thing. But then realizing, well, it was a cool thing for our kids and they loved it. And they're not picking that tradition up. That's okay. I have so many people, you know, like you do, raised in the old traditional South, grown men, grown women in their 40s, their 50s, who at 5 o'clock on Sunday afternoon, they know that they've got to show up mama's house for Sunday evening supper. It's not supper, it's supper, right? And they have to be there hell or high water or else mom gets mad at them. To me, that's just profoundly sad that system is still working that way. Instead of being able to go again, like I was saying, if my kids want me to come and be with them, goodness gracious, then we'll drive. We'll do whatever we need to. I want to be in their world, but I don't want to have an expectation on them that they need to keep my traditions alive in this season of life, you know?
Well, yeah, I think some of that goes back to transition.
Mm-hmm. And, it does. Good point.
You know, fortunately, my kids love being around both sets of grandparents, and they're in the work world now, so they only get X number of days off.
Right.
And so that's, you know, you just have to be a little more creative about that, and everybody's got to be a little more flexible.
Yep.
And sometimes as you know, flexibility is not everyone's strength, and sometimes it's not my strength.
Yeah.
I talk a big game. If my wife were here right now, she would say, my day started off so poorly today because I had a really busy day. So I was going to try to get up and get a little exercise in. I'd done some reading. It was good. And my Spotify account wouldn't come on. And, you know, I love music. And I don't ever work out without music. And it was just kept saying it was offline. Dude, it made me so mad. If I would have been home alone, my phone's already broken, and so I'm going to get a new phone, I would have thrown that bleep, bleep, bleep thing across the garage, and I walked in, and Jen tried to fix it, and didn't work. And so it just, I'm like, I cannot believe this has thrown my morning off like this.
Isn't that crazy?
Like, it's embarrassing. Yeah. I may edit this out. I'm not even sure I wanted to share this, but it just, that's so embarrassing. But the lack of flexibility sometimes on, hey, you're all right. It's 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. It came back on later in the day. You'll be fine. Just, you know, relax.
Right.
And,
right.
I think the irony is the older we get, sometimes I think I'll just use me. The older I get, sometimes the more inflexible I get. When really, as I age, I think what the people around me need is more flexibility. Oh. And more grace.
See, I think that's a great rearview mirror moment right there. Looking back and realizing that the greatest gift I give to the generation behind me is I don't have to have it my way anymore.
Yeah.
This is not about, you know, I think there's something in parenting where there were times it needed to be my way because it was the safest way, the best way, whatever, maybe. But gosh, as I get older, what does it look like to be more flexible?
It's less and less as your kids get older and you get older.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it's really not a safety issue at 16 or 17 or 22. I just want it my way.
Right. Right.
And if you, again, as a parent, if you're trying to maintain that relationship, man, that's a, and again, I'm speaking to myself, just the flexibility to let them do things their own way, even if you don't agree with it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And lo and behold, it might be a better way.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. I remember when one of our kids, well, Josh, I mean, he doesn't mind me telling the story. They were living in Burns, had this beautiful little house, and then they found this farm with 37 acres of land, I believe, out in Dixon, and they decided they were going to buy it and maybe use it as a venue and stay living in Burns. And I remember he told me about it, and they were so excited. And I was like, man, that's awesome. And what was going on internally was like, oh my gosh, I can do the math of how much those two pieces of property cost. I can't imagine why that mortgage, oh my gosh, that's way too much. You shouldn't. My fear was
kicking
in. How are
you going to keep up 37 acres?
Right, exactly. Yeah. All of that, you know? Yeah. But I remember going, this is so not my battle. Josh is so smart. Jessica is so smart. And I remember just going, well, man, we celebrate you, help them move, do anything we can to help you get settled in, you know, and just watch them navigate it. And I remember, I don't know, 6 months, a year later at some point, they said, you know what, we've decided we don't want to do the venue out here as much as we want to live out here. We love being in the country, and we're going to sell the other house. Mm. And I remember, I was like, oh, well, good for you. And there's this part of me going, oh, winner, winner, chicken dinner, you know. Mm. But it wasn't my business. It didn't matter whether or not they could afford it. The reality is they did. They were fine. But I, you know, maybe this is another thing I wish I'd learned earlier. I can't project my fear onto a decision they make. It's their lives. They have to figure it out. And they did beautifully and brilliantly.
And even if it would have gone bust.
So what?
There's a lot of lessons to learn from that.
Right.
And that's hard as a parent too, you know, to not let your kids fail. But, you know, I think the fallacy is that we can keep them from failing.
Right. Right. Yeah.
Because we really can't.
Uh-uh.
I mean...
No. Well, it's that line I say all the time. If God really is perfect.
Yeah.
And if he therefore had to be the perfect father and his two kids, Adam and Eve, disobeyed him, who in the world am I to think my kids aren't going to disobey me or they're not going to have a moment of failure too? You know, it's like, welcome to the human condition. And I think sometimes we need to remember, man, I was boneheaded at 16 or 26 or whatever. And just be like, that's some of the best life lessons I learned. We're in those moments.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember this. I didn't ask him if I could share this, but it's pretty benign. It's a story about Will. So I'll tell it. And if I'll ask him tonight, and if he says no, we'll edit it out.
We'll find a way.
Right. But, it was great. He was a good student and, you know, not super interested in all the, minutia of school. Yeah. I mean, I think he likes to learn, but you know, so he just wasn't, you know, he made good grades, but it wasn't he wasn't super excited about it. Did really well on the ACT. He's a good test taker. And so he got a, you know, good scholarship to the University of Tennessee. He looked at other schools and decided, hey, I don't want to, you know, let's just do that. So I was grateful for that. Saved us some money. But I had that conversation with him, you know, in the parking lot. We're dropping him off. I love you, man. I'm so proud of you. You got it. You got what it takes. I said, hey, I just want to be clear on this. You know, we've talked about this before, but you know, you lose your scholarship, you either got to pay me back or you got to, you know, pick up the classes somewhere else. It's on you if you do. The financial, whatever difference I have to pay, because I'm not paying full tuition at the university of whatever, you know, if you, just because you're screwing around.
Right.
You know,
because
you're smart enough to, you know, and some kids don't test well, they don't learn well. That's not a conversation to have with every kid.
Right, right.
Okay, so hear me say there's all kinds of kids, parents know their own kids, different conversations for different kids. But for him, it was, he can do it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So we're moseying through freshman year, sophomore year. He comes home and he's working. He's got an internship one summer. And it's a decently paying, but not great paying internship. And it's a 9-to-5 kind of thing. And then, you know, to Jen and I's surprise, we've got a long history with a local, I mean, it's a dive here in town, but our kids have both worked there. All our kids' friends have worked there.
That's
as
awesome.
Servers and hostesses. And so much so that the girl that manages it, all the girls would babysit her kid when he was born.
Wow.
And so, and we, Jen and I even kept him sometimes. No, it was like it was just this little family spot, and it's great. Will got a job there, you know, after his internship at night washing dishes.
Mm-hmm.
I looked at Jen and she's like, I'm worried about him. He's going to get tired. I said, man, that is so industrious. I mean, like, what?
Yeah.
What is going on? And, you know, he doesn't say a thing. He goes about his business and does it, and makes his money and rolls on. Well, it turns out he had lost his scholarship that semester.
Oh, my gosh.
He had been on.
But he was grinding.
It was one of those, you know, probation kind of things. You can get it back with, you know, X, Y, and Z. So he figured it out.
Yes.
He, you know, so proud of him for just, you know, he told us later. And which I always think if you get about 70% of the information out of your kids, that's really there.
That's a home run, man.
It's a big time home run. But he did that kind of on his own.
Mm.
And it wasn't industrious for the reasons that I thought, but it was industrious in a different way.
Yeah.
So, you know,
yeah.
And I think that was all, I mean, he learned a ton and, you know, gave us confidence in him and you know, I don't, why he lost it. I don't need to know.
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah. Yeah.
Not really super interested in that. I mean, get out with a degree, get a job, you know.
Well, I'm going to tell a story on Jonathan, and we'll have the same rule. I'll check in with him tonight, and if it's not okay, we'll let it.
Right.
This may be a really short podcast.
Right, yeah, it could be.
But I remember when Jonathan was in college, you know, college was a challenge for him, not academically at all, but I think just bored out of his brains and trying to figure out, he wanted to get on with life, you know, and so he bounced around a little bit. Well, it is like probably 7 or 8 weeks into his senior year. He's done at Mississippi State. He was there all junior year and he's back. And we get a call from him one night. And it basically goes, hey, I want to drop out of school. I think I'm done. And I'm going, okay. And I think because he was the fourth born, I didn't lose my brain or anything. And I just like, okay, dude, can we talk about this a little bit? And he goes, yeah. And he said, tell me what you're thinking. I'm just tired of this. I'm ready to move on with life. I want to get started with a business. I want to do something. I said, okay, but bud, and you know the speech any dad would probably give. It was like, but college opens a door. You're so close. Don't quit now. Home stretch. John was a runner. Dude, you've run three laps of the mile, run the fourth, you know. And he was like, I just can't do it anymore. I'm ready to be done. And I said, well, would you take a few days and think about it? Maybe talk to some wise counsel before you make the final decision. He goes, fair enough. So he calls me the next day. He goes, hey, I'm going to South Carolina this weekend. Going to go visit our friends, Sean and Karen. Well, love Sean and Karen. I've known Karen since I was in high school. Sean's a doc. Karen's a counselor coach. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, this is awesome. You know, big education people. They're going to straighten Jonathan out. You know, so he goes there and spends a couple days with them. Karen sends a picture of John and Sean on the back porch, you know, talking about stuff. And I'm like, oh, this, yes, yes, yes. John's going to get it.
And in your mind, straightening him out was doing it the way
I wanted him to do
it. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, because I'm smart.
Yeah.
So Jonathan drives home, I think it was on a Sunday, and he shoots me a quick text, says, hey, I'll call you mom Monday night and we can talk about where I am. And so Monday night he calls and he said, hey, I had a great time with LaBelle's. It was super clarifying, super helpful. I'm ready. I'm going to drop out. And I was like, well, shit, that's not the way this is supposed to go.
So you're immediately on the phone with the LaBelle's going, what in the hell did you tell my kid?
Exactly.
And don't call me again. Yeah.
So I remember that moment, though, kind of like you were saying about the expectation. I said, well, Jonathan, listen, you're a young man. I respect that. I support that. Thank you for listening to me. I'm glad you talked to them, fuming about them maybe on the inside. I said, but hey, I need to clarify a couple things. You know, we just signed a year long lease, and I'm going to need you to pay me back for the previous 2 months because there's no reason to me paying for it and for the rest of the year. And we just stroked a check for whatever it was, you know, $6,000 for this semester just for tuition. I'm going to need you to pay me that back. And I remember without hesitation, Jonathan goes, I'm glad to do that, Dad. Just one question. I'm going to need a payment plan. I don't have that kind of cash. Ugh. I said, that's fair. That's okay. Yeah. And so he comes home a couple of days later with all of his earthly possessions, you know, and he's already past the ad drop date. So, you know, I think it was like around $6,000. And I remember thinking, well, this is how much he's going to owe me. He comes walking the door and he goes, all right. He goes, first of all, here. And he hands me a check from Mississippi State that's for like $3,000. I said, how did you get this money? You were past ad drop. He goes, well, I went and talked to the bursar. And then someone goes, I ended up talking to some dean. I just kept escalating it until I talked to a dean, told him my situation. They were like, well, we can't give it all back to him. We give you 50%. And Steve, in that moment, I thought, my kid's brilliant. He's going to be okay. And you know his story. Him dropping out was probably the best thing for him in that season. He started a landscaping business. It did well. Met Sydney. They got married. I mean, it's been amazing. And then, you know, a few years later, he calls me and he goes, okay, you can tell me I told you so. He said, but I'm going to finish my degree. And we just laughed. I said, I'm not having to tell you, told you so. I'm just proud of you. You're doing it your way, not my way. Those are the moments, whether it's Will, whether it's John, I'm just so proud to see the resilience, the grit in our kids.
And sometimes I think too, in the moment, it's harder, you know, but, gosh, the steps to have, you know, for Johnny to think through that, get to the right people, but take a while to get to the right people,
yes.
You know, get to the wrong people. And then I mean, there are adults in the business world that don't have that skill of problem solving.
Right.
You know, I can't tell you how many times I'm on the phone with folks or, you know, third parties that groups that work with us, and in my head, I'm thinking, and I try not to say this, but you realize where I'm trying to go with this, don't you? You know, and they're not making the connection between A and B and C.
Yeah.
And he's made it at 21.
Yeah.
Hey, this is where I need to get this money back.
Yeah.
So how do I do it?
And
man, what a life skill. And
yeah,
one of the things I love about my kids is that they're problem solvers.
Yes.
Yeah. You know? It's not always perfect, but
doesn't have to be.
It doesn't have to be. That's the age that it can be clumsy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there are a lot of kids. One of the things I loved about coaching was just watching kids in high school grow and get more mature, and and even being able to tell parents who are frustrated with their freshman or sophomore in high school, just telling them, hey, they won't be like this next year.
Yeah. Yeah.
They'll be different. You're just going to have to trust me on that.
Yep.
You know, I've seen it.
Yeah.
They're different out here than what you see. Mm. And so, That was so fun.
When you said that, I don't know if you remember Anita Anderson. She may have been before you remember her. She's passed away now, but she was a precious lady. She was, when I first met her, she was the principal at Page Middle. And Josh pulling his pranks, getting in trouble. And I went out one day talking to her and I said, I don't know what's going on with all these pranks. And she said, sit down for a minute. She goes, I've raised three boys. She was a little older than me. She goes, I want to explain to you something about boys that you don't know yet. She goes, at age 14, their brain disappears. It doesn't come back until 21 or 22 or 23 years old, but it will come back. You just need to relax. Yeah. The number of times I thought about that and quoted her going, it's so true. There's just, it's okay. They're growing. They're stretching. They're trying to figure out who they are. Yeah. Yeah. Life and who they are. And how can I be patient? And again, to me, the ultimate ethic of life is, gosh, how do I just love them through the good, bad, and ugly?
Yeah.
Because that's what I needed. You know, it's what we all need still.
Yeah. Yeah. Generally speaking, the times we really screw it up as parents are based on the things we didn't get that we needed. And a lot of times, you know, you and I've talked about this, and you really are the one that made me think about this. A lot of times as parents, they're in the same season of life where you didn't get what you needed. That you have the most biggest struggle sometimes with your kids.
Yeah. Oh.
And just being aware of that is,
you know. Again, I mean, at the risk of beating a drum, you know, you think about it, it's the reason, and I didn't do this as well or as soon as I should have, but I think it's the reason why the best parents are the parents that are dealing with themselves first and then dealing with their kids. You know, I love Dan Allender's book. The title is how children raise parents. You know, I didn't misspeak when I said it, you know, how children raise parents. And the whole point in his book is just going, look, parenting is far more about us learning to deal with our crap so our crap doesn't ooze out all over 100%. Them. Yeah. And that so we can remain a calm, a hopeful, a direct presence with them. And, you know, you and I have both shared this. My crap oozed out all over our kids at times
sure.
because I had not dealt with my own story. So I've said this before. There were times where my 13-year-old would make a stupid mistake, and 2 minutes later, you got two 13-year-olds fighting about it, them and me,
right.
you
yeah.
know? And
right.
that's so not cool. Yeah. But that's why I have to go, man, what goes on inside of me, and how do I stay present?
That's the only parenting book I ever read.
It's a great, it was the only one you need.
Man, it was my favorite. One of the things that one of the things he did such a great job with in that is taking away, not the emotion of a decision, but really making you think about what decisions are good and what decisions are bad.
Yeah.
Remember he gave an example in there about he was trying to finish I think this is generally right. I think he was trying to finish his book.
Yep.
In his office, and his daughter wanted to spend some time with him doing something. And he said, you know, either way, if I work on my book to the detriment of time with my daughter, the book's going to get done. My publisher's going to be happy. I'm going to make some money. There are advantages to that. And I can probably make up the time with my daughter elsewhere.
Yeah.
Or if I spend time with my daughter, there are advantages of that and detriment on the other side. And he said, every decision is like that. It's not a this is good or I'm really good because I do this or I'm really responsible because I do this or I'm a great parent because I chose this. Every choice has consequences and benefits.
Right.
And I think when when Jen and I both read that and when we started, just kind of thinking about it that way, like you said earlier, I don't know that we feel real great about this decision. So we're going to say no here.
Mm-hmm.
Kids are mad. That's okay.
Yep.
Yeah. You know? And what you said last time, I don't know that I'm right about this.
Right.
His other mantra that he talked about a lot was, generally the best outcome is for your kids to know that they're loved and they can't always get their way.
That's the most brilliant part of
it. That was a
It's funny. Lauren and I we did a parenting conference out in Colorado. We spoke at it a couple weekends ago. And there's this little 2x2 quadrant chart that I will draw to represent that because mm-hmm. how Dan describes that is so brilliant. You know, he says,
yeah.
We come out of the womb asking two questions. Do you love me? Can I always get my way? And it's imperative that we answer the first one. Absolutely. Yes, we love you. And positively, no, you can't always get your way. And that's what creates healthy, resilient kids. But there's a tendency to get our answers wrong in one or maybe even both of those categories.
And we don't do it well all the time. There are other, we enter into the other quadrants all the time.
All the time.
You know, you're not, you know, maybe not loved, but I think there were, you know, kids end up in families that they're not loved and they can't get their way. They're not loved and they can. There are outcomes to that.
Yep.
But yeah, the more consistently you can stay in that one, I think.
That's impressive how you just quoted those two takeaways from that book, dude. That was awesome.
A long time ago. It's amazing. And again, if my wife were here, she would laugh. I can tell you the starting lineup for the 1982 world champion, 83 world champion, Philadelphia 76ers. Not sure what my first meeting was today. I'd have to think about that for a minute. So, and you and I would be willing to do a parenting conference in Malibu, Colorado.
Oh, absolutely.
If we were called, just throwing that out there
to our 80
listeners.
Our new listener in St. Lucia who listened in last week, we're more than glad to come down there and do a parenting conference for you as
might
well.
Might not even need to vet that one.
We just get on the plane tomorrow?
Right. I'd be willing to roll the dice on that.
Oh, goodness. Well, to come in here not knowing what we were talking about, I thoroughly enjoyed talking about this little component of parenting, especially these young adults and adult kids.
We've just been talking about our adult kids a lot lately, and we've been interacting with them a lot.
Yeah.
You know mine. I know yours.
Yeah. We're blessed. I mean.
We're blessed, except for Sarah. I mean, if you keep jacking with my mic, man, what is going on? Just leave it. Sit up straight, and you'll be fine.
You better be careful. She's got a dark side to her. She's going to come after you.
Yeah. And she doesn't know where I live. That's a little alarming.
All right. Well, we'll look forward to whatever we talk about next week. But as always, great to spend time together.
All right.